especially the sports industry, and of course MMA as well. But it looks like things are finally looking up. The plan is to have UFC 249 take place May 9th in Jacksonville, Florida. I talked about this on Friday with Cole. Go back and check the podcast out if you missed it. And now it's official. So it's good news. I mean, this card, by the way, it looks amazing. So let's get right into it. Dana White is calling it the best card ever. And I'll let you guys think about that while I talk about the card here. So here is UFC 249. And it's, like I said, a hell of a card, guys. I mean, it really is. Like, what a card. Even though it is missing that third title fight between Nunes and Spencer, it's still a great card. So main card, main event, Tony Ferguson versus Justin Gaethje, interim UFC lightweight title fight. Co-main event, Dominic Cruz versus Henry Cejudo, UFC bantamweight title. Also on the main card, Francis Ngannou versus Yarzino Rozenstruik in a heavyweight fight, and Greg Hardy versus Jorgen De Castro in a heavyweight fight, as well as Jeremy Stephens versus Calvin Kattar in a featherweight fight. So that's the main card. That is a solid main card. That's about as good as it gets. And then the prelims, of course, are stacked. Like, they're really good. Donald Cerrone versus Anthony Pettis headlining the prelims. Alexi Olenek versus Fabricio Verdun, battle of two veteran grapplers. Carlos Barza versus Michelle Waterson. Uriah Hall versus Jacare Souza. That's the ESPN prelims. And then the ESPN Plus early prelims. I mean, look at these fights. These are great fights, too. Vicente Luque versus Nico Price, too. Bryce Mitchell versus Charles Rosa. And Ryan Spann versus Sam Alvey. This is one of the best cards that I think they ever put together. I am kind of in agreement with Dana White on this one. I know he says, like, every time, this is the best card ever. I don't know if this is the best card ever, which is what he is saying. He's saying it's probably the best card ever. I would say it's one of the better cards we've seen in a long time. This is a stacked card. I don't see a bad fight on the card. All these fights are interesting to me. So let's just go through them quickly here. I will be back next week with Cole. I should mention, I think the plan is to do it on Tuesday or Wednesday, the preview. I'm excited to start picking fights again. So that's the plan right now. I mean, a lot can change in a week. Hopefully this event is still going to happen in a week from now, but the plan is to have this the breakdown show on this podcast next Tuesday or Wednesday. I'll let you guys know later this week. And then for the week after that, it's going to be I'll probably do three podcasts that week because there's that Wednesday event. But anyways, as far as this show goes, I'm going to stick to UFC 249. Just give a short preview. I'm not going to go too much in depth on the fights, but I do want to talk about these fights because, man, there's some good ones here. So the main event, Ferguson Gaethje. I love the matchup. I mean, listen, there's a lot of people saying Tony should have waited for Habib, and even I think that that's something that he could have did. But at the same time, like, the UFC really wanted him to fight Gaethje on this card. He's a company man. He wanted to take the fight. So it's a great fight. I love the matchup. It's an interesting fight for sure. I mean, Gaethje doesn't like taking fights on short notice, which is what he's doing here. Ferguson is a guy who's pretty much beaten everyone he's fought except for Michael Johnson in the UFC. Gaethje's did well, but he struggled a little bit at times. Just an interesting fight for sure. Two of the best guys in the world, two of the top five guys. The winner of the fight, according to Dana White, will fight Habib Nurmagomedov in September or October. So interim title fight on the line. You know, there are some controversy about creating an interim belt when Habib just defended the belt last September. I mean, it's not that long ago. It's been within a year. Like, you saw guys like Cain Velasquez and Dominic Cruz hold onto their belts for a long time. In this case, Habib obviously hasn't been stripped by any means, but the fact there is an interim belt being created within a year is kind of questionable. At the same time, though, I think if anyone's going to fight for it, these two guys deserve that. So I'm fine with it. And if it wasn't for a belt, it probably wouldn't headline the card, and it wouldn't be five rounds. This fight needs to be five rounds, and it needs to headline this card. It's the most important fight in the card. It's the fight everyone wants to see. So I love the matchup. Even for the belt, an interim belt that, you know, I don't really respect that much, I still think it's a great fight. I cannot wait for this matchup. And I should quickly look at the odds here. I don't want to break it down too much, guys, just because I'm going to do it next week with Cole. And honestly, I haven't made my picks for the fights, but currently, according to best fight odds, Ferguson -165 and Gaethje +145. So Ferguson, a small favorite here, which makes sense considering the win streak. But we'll talk more about that fight next week. Co-main events. This one I'm not as much of a fan of. Henry Cejudo against Dominic Cruz. I just don't think Dominic Cruz deserves a title shot. I don't believe he deserves to be in the title picture at this point. He has not won a fight since December 2016. Actually, sorry, June 2016. He hasn't fought since December 2016. So it's been almost 4 years. I mean, that's a long time. Last win was against Uriah Faber. And looking at his record, I mean, he is one of the best bantamweights of all time. Maybe the best. It's definitely a topic of discussion for sure. He's definitely up there. But at this point in his career, age 35, having not fought in 4 years, I can't see him being competitive too much in this fight against Cejudo, which, and, you know, it's kind of funny. Cejudo's only 33. He's 33. I mean, it's not like a spring chicken by any means, but he's just so much younger fighters and doesn't have all the injuries and wear and tear that Cruz has. I personally wouldn't have given Cruz a title shot. I would have given it to someone like Corey Sandhagen or Aljamain Sterling, someone like that. Peter Yan would have been perfect, but he's not going to be able to fight in the States. So, you know, considering the circumstances, I guess I can see where the UFC is coming from with this one. And also, I mean, Dominic Cruz has a really good manager. Malky Kyle was great and got him the fight here. But I don't know. I'm not loving the matchup personally. But the fact there is two title fights in the card is pretty sweet. So it is what it is. Next up, we've got a heavyweight bout between Francis Ngannou and Rosa Shrug, which I've talked about many times on the show. I love this matchup. I'm glad they kept it together. It's a fight that all of us want to see. Someone's getting knocked out in this one. I don't see it being boring. Should be a great fight. Winner of this fight definitely could get a title shot, I think, against Stipe Miocic or DC, whoever wins that fight later this year. So this is a big fight for these guys, and the winner of the fight probably gets a title shot. Stevens versus Cater. Oh, I should mention the odds. Sorry, guys. Cejudo Cruz, minus 240 for Cejudo. Cruz, plus 200. And then the last fight, Ngannou, minus 275. Rosenstruck, plus 235. So all three of the early fights, or I should say these two fights, actually, have decent-sized favorites here, and then obviously Ferguson's a small favorite, but yeah, Cejudo and Ngannou clear favorites here according to the odds. And then you got Jeremy Stephens versus Calvin Kattar, a really fun fight, another fight they kept, and I love this matchup. Kattar minus 250, Stephens plus 210. Yeah, you're seeing a lot of like decent-sized favorites, but I'm expecting at least an upset. You know, it's very rare to see like five main card fights see the betting favorite win, so you'll probably see an upset here. And also Greg Hardy versus DeCastro. That's opening up the main card. Greg Hardy minus 175, DeCastro plus 155. So, great main card. I mean, two heavyweight fights that probably ended in a knockout. Featherweight fight between two really exciting guys. And then the two title fights, one that I don't like that much, but one that I really like a lot. So, overall, an excellent card. And I saw some people saying that they don't believe the cards were $65. If you don't, that's fair. And don't pay for it. I definitely wouldn't recommend someone spending money on something they don't want to watch. But in my opinion, this is a pretty solid card. So not really in agreement with the criticism. Like, there's not much UFC can do on short notice, and they've managed to put together a really good card if it stays together. So, you know, it's if you want to buy it or not, that's completely up to you. But I don't think it's fair to be making the argument this is not a quality card. It is a great card. Getting to the prelims, stacked. Cerrone versus Pettis, two interesting fights. Pettis minus 135, Cerrone plus 115. So pretty close odds. That could end up a pick-em by the end of it. Pettis and Cerrone, two guys that fought, I think it was 8 years ago now in Chicago, and Pettis won that fight, but who knows what's going to happen this time around. Interesting fight. And I love this matchup, by the way, Alina versus Verdum. Great fight. Right now we got Verdum minus 320, Alina plus 260. Kind of surprising. Verdum's such a big favorite, actually, looking at it. He hasn't fought in 2 years after the PED suspension, and Alina looked really good. So interesting fight there, two veteran heavyweights. I mean, it's crazy that you got former champs like Pettis and Verdum on the prelims here, but this card, like I said, is really good. And it's deep, too. Next up, Esparza versus Watterson. Actually, three former champs. Esparza is a former champ as well. So Esparza versus Watterson here. Esparza minus 150, Watterson plus 130. A little surprising, actually. I have not seen these odds yet for this fight. A little surprising. Esparza has struggled a little bit, so for her to be the favorite here is a little bit surprising, but I know Watterson's coming off a loss too to Joanna. Interesting fight. And then finally, opening up the ESPN prelims, Uriah Hall versus Jacare Souza. And another great fight. Souza only minus 125, small favorite. Uriah Hall plus 105. So interesting fight there as well. Love this matchup. Glad they kept that one together as well. These four fights in ESPN, I mean, these are designed for people to watch, enjoy, and then buy the pay-per-view. That's the UFC's goal here and ESPN's goal. So I think they picked four really good fights for that, if that's the goal. And, man, this, like I said, this card is good. And then the early prelims, Vicente Luque versus Nico Price. Luque minus 270, Price plus 230. Again, this is a rematch. These guys met 3 years ago. Luque won by submission, but Price has looked really good lately. It's a great fight. I mean, this could easily be fight of the night, and it's way down the card. Also, Bryce Mitchell versus Charles Rosa, another fight that could be fight of the night potentially. I mean, both guys are always in good fights. Just looking at best fight odds, For some reason, I don't see the odds for this fight. Am I just missing them? I don't see them there. I mean, maybe they missed them or something. Let me see if I could find them again. Charles Rosa, Bryce Mitchell. They had the Hermanson Weidman odds. It was the last odds they had for that were Bryce Mitchell -175, Rosa +155. So not sure why Best Fight Odds doesn't have the new line up for this. Oh, it's okay. It still lists as Hermanson Weidman. That's why. Yeah, they've got to change that. But Bryce Mitchell is a favorite and should be a good fight. And then finally, this fight's actually a newer fight that was announced for this card. All the other fights were previously announced. This one's new. Ryan Spann versus Sam Alvey. Ryan Spann -400. Sam Alvey +325. Interesting fight as well. Ryan Spann, I saw him fight Little Nog last year in May in Brazil. Knocked out Little Nog. I don't think he's fought since then, but he's definitely a really good fighter. And Sam Alvey's a veteran, a lot of experience. Actually, I apologize. Ryan Spann did fight Devin Clark in October. That was almost a step backwards, if you ask me. I don't think Devin Clark's that great. But yeah, I don't know. Like, it's weird. Like, I understand that there's not a lot of guys available to fight right now, but to me, it's like Ryan Spann deserves better fights than Sam Alvey and Devin Clark. This guy is on a nice 7-fight win streak right now. He deserves a top 15 opponent. So kind of questionable matchmaking here, but again, short notice. You can't say too much. I mean, UFC's getting fights together on a whim, and this fight actually looked pretty decent. All right, so overall, I'd say it's a damn good card, you know. Again, some people might disagree with that. Fair enough. Like, you're allowed to disagree. And Dana White calling it the best card ever, obviously, is, you know, pretty crazy statement in some people's minds. But overall, I think it's a damn good card. All right. So, yeah, Dana White was calling it the best fight ever. I mean, we already talked about that. And then Cruz, Dana White also defended the Cruz title shot. Basically said that Cruz is a legend. And, you know, if anyone's going to fight for the belt, it should be him. I don't know if I agree with it. Like I said on Friday's podcast with Cole, my argument is, like, the same card where Cruz lost the belt to Garbrandt, on that same card, Ronda Rousey lost to Amanda Nunes. Is it anything different if Ronda Rousey came back and fought Nunes for a title or whoever for the belt? To me, it's like the same thing. So I don't really agree with the title shot. Again, Dominic Cruz is a guy that UFC loves. He does commentary for them. He's got a good manager, got him the title shot here. But it's just what I don't agree with. Although, again, considering the circumstances, I'm going to let this one pass. I don't think it's worth, you know, putting up a pitchfork and going up in arms about this and going on social media and going crazy about it. I don't think it's worth it. Just because, again, the situation calls for dire circumstances here. And, you know, I think under normal circumstances, there's no way Cruz gets a title shot. But when there aren't that many other guys available to fight, that's why he gets it. Also, I should mention Joe Rogan will be providing commentary for this event on May 8th, 9th in Jacksonville. All right, next up, we're going to go to the next card, which is UFC. Actually, it doesn't have a name yet, but they're calling it UFC Fight Night 175, UFC at ESPN +33. So this is the Wednesday card. And it's funny, I was talking to Cole about this. So I tweeted that the same night that this card's happening, the Survivor Season 40 finale is happening. I love Survivor, so definitely be watching now, watching both. It's funny because I had no idea watch Survivor 2, and then we started talking about it after, which is pretty sweet. It's actually an amazing season. I know some people might not like the show, but I know a lot of people do. It's a great show. I've really got into it the last couple months, pretty much while in quarantine. Been watching a lot of different shows, and this is one that I've really loved. So I'm really looking forward to season 40. It's going to be great, or the finale, I should say. And then the same night, it's going to be Glover Teixeira against Anthony Smith. So interesting fight there. Should be a good fight. Again, a rebooking. And we do have odds for that fight. Anthony Smith versus Glover Teixeira. The odds have Anthony Smith -170, Glover Teixeira +135. Anthony Smith coming off nice win over Gustafson. And Glover Teixeira, he's looked good too. Anthony Smith, though, I mean, he's a little bit younger than Glover. He's only 31. He's been around forever. He's coming off the win over Gus. And then he's also got wins over, like, Uzdemir, Shogun. Got some good wins. Glover also coming off some wins over Krylov, Kudalov, and Robertson. He's looked good too. So interesting fight. But given that Glover's 40 and Smith's only 31, I think you got to favor Smith. But, you know, considering what the circumstances were, guys aren't training properly right now. Who knows what's going to happen in these fights? Like, they can go different ways than normally where guys are getting the full training camps in. These guys are, you know, training in their gyms by themselves a lot of the time. And who knows how these fights are going to go. But interesting fight for sure. And also on that card, we have a couple other fights announced. And I'm sure more fights will be announced this week, like probably today or tomorrow. Ray Borg will be taking on Ricky Simone on this card as well. Ray Borg moving up to bantamweight. He was supposed to fight Marlon Vera at UFC 249. That fight fell through. Don't know why. I thought Vera lived in California, so I don't know why that fight fell through. But yeah, Ray Borg will be fighting Ricky Simone, and Ray Borg moving up to bantamweight after missing weight at flyweight again. But he is coming off two straight wins over Rogério Bartore and Gabriel Silva. He's looked pretty good. We all know Ray Borg is a talented guy. As long as he can make the weight, he should be definitely, I would say, I don't know if he's a title contender at 135, but he can definitely win some fights. 125, if he made the weight there, he could easily win the belt. But, you know, considering the weight misses, I don't think he'll be doing that anytime soon. And then he'll be taking on Ricky Simone in this card. Ricky Simone, a guy who's a talented fighter for sure, but struggling a little bit lately, coming off losses to Rob Font and Rye Favor, but he does have some good wins over Mirab, Devalis, Feely, Ronnie Yaya, Montel Jackson. So the guy's very talented. It's a very interesting fight. I'm assuming Borg's going to be favored just because of the experience, but don't count Simone just because of the two-fight losing streak. The guy's not a bad fighter by any means. He has struggled a little bit lately, but he's only 27, and he could absolutely bounce back. And the other fight in this card is going to be Sahara Eubanks versus Sarah Morris. And this fight was supposed to happen at UFC 249. It's been rebooked for this card. Eubanks, she's only 4-4. I mean, she's got like a very mediocre record, but a lot of people think she's extremely talented. She did look good on the Ultimate Fighter. I'll give her credit there. But in the UFC, she struggled a bit, 2-2. And flyweight didn't work out for her, considering the weight missing. But at 135, coming off two straight losses to Korean Ladd, she's got to win this fight. Sarah Morris saved her job in her last fight. She had lost three straight fights, and then she beat Lana Yula in her last fight at UFC 242, the Khabib card against Poirier, and that snapped her three-fight win streak, losing streak, and she got back in the win column, and the UFC, I believe, gave her a new contract, so good for her. I kind of favor Eubanks, though. I just think if she can keep the fight standing, she'll have a big edge on the feet. And another fight that's been announced for this card, and this is a really weird one. Doesn't make sense, really. Ben Rothwell will be taking on OSP, who's moving up to heavyweight. Kind of a head-scratcher, right? Like, okay, so OSP was supposed to fight Jan Kutalaba at light heavyweight, and that fight fell through because Kutalaba's having problems getting back to the States. So I feel bad for this guy, Kutalaba. So he got screwed against Magomed Ankalaev. We all know that. He lives in Moldova. He flew back to the States being prepared to fight UFC 249 short notice. That fight got canceled. I guess he went back home. Now he's not allowed back in. The guy got completely screwed. Hopefully he'll be able to fight on Fight Island soon. He also lost his appeal for that fight. He just got screwed. Feel bad for that dude. But OSP was supposed to fight him. That fight's not happening. Instead, OSP is going to move to heavyweight in short notice against Ben Rothwell, which is so nuts to me. OSP coming off a nice win over Michael Oleksiak by Von Fluchoke. He's looked pretty damn good at times in the UFC, like wins over Corey Anderson and Tyson Pedro. Like some solid wins for sure. Shogun, Nikita Krylov, the late Ryan Jimmel. So at times, OSP's looked good, but he's also looked pretty bad at times. You know, before the Oleksiak fight, lost two straight bouts to Krylov and Reyes. Also lost to Latifi. He's been knocked out a bunch of times, been finished. Yeah, I mean, he's a solid fighter, but a heavyweight, I mean, it's kind of nuts. He will be fast, though, which I will say that. You know, Ben Rothwell is not a fast guy. He's very slow. So OSP will have a big speed advantage there. And if he can just kind of stay on the outside and, I guess, pick up Rothwell with kicks and stuff, that's probably his game plan. But Ben Rothwell coming off a knockout win over Stefan Struve, that broke a three-fight losing streak for him. He needed that win. But this is a guy who's extremely experienced. He's been around forever. He's fought the best of the best for years. Been in the UFC for 11 years now. He's been fighting top-level guys for that whole time. Got some good wins here. Overeem, Barnett, Mitrione, Schaub. He's got some good wins in his career. Rory Nelson. I mean, the guy's been around forever. So you got to favor Rothwell, I think, just based on the fact that the fight is a heavyweight. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely an interesting fight for sure. And to be honest, I don't know if it's worth betting on just because of the crazy circumstances for this fight. And the other fight that's been announced is for the May 16th card. And the main event of that is also rebooking. It's going to be Alistair Overeem against Walt Harris. And this fight was supposed to take place at UFC Portland. And now it's going to be taking place on the May 16th card in Jacksonville. Fingers crossed that happens. Walt Harris, he's actually 36, so he's a lot older than I think a lot of us, you know, look at him. We think he's a kind of a prospect. I don't really know about that anymore. I remember me and James had him on the old Parting Shot back in, I think it was 2013 or 2014, like back when he fought Krylov, actually 2014. So it's been 6 years now. It's crazy. He struggled a lot in his early UFC career, but he's really picked it up lately, and he's coming off a nice win over Alexei Oleinik by knockout. He also beat Sergey Spivak by knockout. He's looked really good. So he's been impressive. But Overeem, very experienced guy. Alistair Overeem has been around forever. And Overeem, he's coming off a – actually, he's coming off the knockout loss to Rozenstruik. But it was a fight he was winning for 4 minutes and 55 seconds. He got knocked out 4:56 around four with a punch. I mean, he was winning that fight. He was going to get the decision. It was a boring fight, but he still got the job done. Before that, he had beaten Oleinik and Pavlovich by knockout. Keep in mind that Walt Harris was actually supposed to fight Overeem on that card in December in Washington, and then they got rebooked for this card, or the Portland card, and then this card now. So it's been rebooked three times. Walt Harris, obviously, tough 2019 for him. Inside the cage, he looked good, but outside the cage, his daughter, obviously, was murdered. So he had a really rough time at the end of the year. But it seems like he's ready to come back, and, I mean, who knows? Maybe he'll just use that as motivation to make a run for the belt here. So interesting fight. I can't remember what the odds were. Let me take a look. I think there were odds at one point. I don't see them up right now, but I think they were up at one point. Walt Harris Overeem. Actually, they never were up. So my guess would be Walt Harris probably is a small favorite here. Like, it's going to be a close fight, close to a pick 'em, but just the fact that he's coming off those string of knockout wins probably makes him a small favorite here. Although Overeem, you cannot count him on. I mean, the guy's been around forever, fought the best of the best. He's got good wins here in his career. Verdue, Mahan, Arlovski, JDS, Nelson, Struve, Mir, Lesnar, Verdun. I mean, the guy's been around forever. He's fought the best of the best, beat the best of the best. But at age 39 and with, I think, 14 knockout losses in MMA. Crazy. Plus another three in kickboxing. The guy's been KO'd a lot. And at some point, he might have to hang them up. But right now, he's still winning fights sporadically. So interesting fight here. And that's going to be it for those fight cards. And then there's, I think they said they want to do another card. So it's going to be May 9th, 13th, 16th, and then the 23rd. Although we don't really know too much about those cards. Just taking a look here on Wikipedia. Don't see a bunch, obviously. There's not too much out there. So we'll see what happens there. But yeah, they definitely have a different schedule. And all these fights, I should mention, are taking place in Jacksonville, Florida. So Florida's getting some decent fights. I know some people were disappointed when they saw, like, these were rebookings for the Wednesday and the other Saturday card. But the UFC has to get those guys fight, so I think it's fine. They're basically just shifting the cards a month back, and to me, that's fine. I mean, you got to do what you got to do. So that's going to be it for, like, new finances and stuff like that. Getting to news, Khabib's father apparently was sick with pneumonia or the flu. Not coronavirus, thankfully, but he says he's feeling better now, which is good to hear, obviously. I mean, Khabib won't be fighting until September at the earliest. So Khabib will be able to stay with his father and keep him comfortable, hopefully, for the next few months. But yeah, definitely terrible news there. You don't want to see anyone get sick, especially when you heard the symptoms they were talking about, like pneumonia and flu and stuff like that. You figure that it could be something bad. I also see that Pat Miletich will be ending his retirement for a fight with boxer Michael Nunn. Kind of strange. Pat Miletich is a guy that is one of the best fighters of all time, I would say. Or I shouldn't say one of the best fighters. I would say like a pioneer. He's a Hall of Famer, though. I mean, the guy's a legend. You know, I have a lot of respect for Pat Miletich as a fighter. You know, he's got a really good record too in his career, 29-7-2. He hasn't fought in 12 years. So this is kind of nuts. He's coming back. Didn't expect him to fight again, for sure, at 52 years old. But, you know, this should be an interesting fight with this Michael Nunn guy, who's a former boxer. Obviously, if it's MMA, you got to figure Pat Miletich. Boxing, you figure the other guy, MMA, Miletich. What else? Leon Edwards, he's talked a lot of smack to Tyron Woodley. Now he's talking smack to Colby Covington, wants to fight them both. The fight with Woodley, obviously, probably won't be happening anytime soon just because of travel restrictions. But, you know, Colby Covington is a guy that he could fight, Edwards could, later on this year. Edwards is 8 wins in a row. One more win, he probably gets a title shot. So either Woodley or Covington. He fights either of those guys, he probably gets a title shot. And just looking down here, Fedor Emelianenko, Scott Coker had a lot of nice things to say about him. And it sounds like Fedor is still like on the radar for a possible title shot, which is nuts. Who knows? I mean, this guy could still win the belt. I mean, it's possible he could fight Ryan Bader again for a second time. I don't like that matchup for Fedor, but he could fight him again, so that's interesting. And Greg Hardy, he wants to live on Fight Island. He wants to live there, which is nuts, and then fight six times a year on it. Dana White was talking about Fight Island last week on Friday, and he basically said that it's, the infrastructure is going up. It's probably going to be like May or June, probably June now. And then he said they have hotels there. They're going to have the Octagon on the beach. So it reminds me of the old Bulldog fight days, which is nuts. But yeah, it should be interesting. So I think that's going to be it for today's show. I think I got everything I want to talk about. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Follow me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin, podcast, MMAOddsBreaker.com. That's my home. And BJPenn.com is my other home. And MMARankings.net. My matchmaking articles are all out. And at BJPenn.com, been doing top five submissions. Definitely go and check that out. This week, I looked at UFC 21 to 30. There were some really good submissions there. So definitely go check it out. Guys, have a great day. I'll see you probably Friday for the next episode of this podcast. Hope you have a great week and stay safe. Bye.